Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wait.
Yeah, this is Cassidy, the hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Brothers and sisters,
Lord, DJ,
as we
DJ
proceed
plug, I love my plug.
To smoke the good, we shall remain at peace as we receive
cannabis.
I hit you back on the other end. I'm in the club with the shooters. Smoking out of hookah, man. Been burning forever since. I can't eyeball out my measurements. I smoke it, I think it, I took it. Been grinding forever since. I'm springing to represent it. On the burn line with no midget in it. Don't try to be tricky with it. You can't get it off, don't you call me with it. Running through commas, man. We in the streets doing numbers, man. Move like a roster, man. All of my dollars, man. I'm popping my collar, man. Eyes, they look like a cheddar, man. Taking my guala, man. I get it from Mexican. He is my doctor for medicine. Been with me forever since. I'm a pedestrian. With a whole pocket of medicine. Under my mattress. Loving the smell of the cannabis. Pull up in foreign, so scandalous. He got the weight, can you balance it? Pressure go hard, can you handle it? Dipping it actively. What did I roll it so talented? High as a cat, like I'm slamming it. Roll so long like a javelin. Man, I'm the host on the cannabis. Cannabis smoking so fabulous.
Cannabis. Me and my homies be smoking cannabis. And we be smoking purple like amethyst. I got a new strain, it's called Unanimous. Bobbing to the music.
Damn.
We be tipping strippers for amusement.
We need some ones.
About to take a trip to Colorado. And I'm getting me a few blue bottles. Holla at my nephew up in Denver. Haven't seen him since I could remember.
You got big as a motherfucker.
Now he's smoking skunk just like his uncle.
Damn.
Sour diesel smelling kind of funky. Sometimes I smoke for recreation.
I'm bruh. Time to get something to eat.
Edibles, I got the munchies.
Whatever.
slaughter cells. I'm hungry.
Hungry than a motherfucker.
Got smoke.
I just smoke some hair butter.
Cannabis, 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 cannabis. Me and my homies be smoking cannabis,
cannabis.
And we be smoking purple like amethyst,
like amethyst.
I got a new strain, it's called unanimous.
Brothers and sisters,
Lord, DJ,
as we
DJ
proceed
plug, I love my plug. We
to
in there.
Smoke the good, good, we shall remain at peace as we receive the
cannabis, cannabis, cannabis,
pressure, pressure.
Me and my homies be smoking cannabis,
cannabis,
and we be smoking purple like amethyst.
I hit you back on the other end. I'm in the club with the shooters. Smoking out of hookah, man. Been burning forever since. I can eyeball out my measurements. I smoke it, I think it, I jug it. Been grinding forever since. I should bring it represented. On the burn line with no midget in it. Don't try to be tricky with it. You can't get it off, don't you call me with it. Running through commas, man. We in the streets doing numbers, man. Smoke like a roster, man. All of my dollars, man. I'm popping my collar, man. Eyes, they look like a channel, man. Sucking my koala, man. I get it from Mexican. He is my doctor for medicine. Been with me forever since. I'm a pedestrian with a whole pocket of medicine. Under my mattresses. Loving the smell of the cannabis. Pull up in foreign, so scandalous. He got the weight, can you balance it? Pressure go hard, can you handle it? Dipping the activist. What did I roll, it's so talented. High as a cat, like I'm slamming it. Roll so low like a javelin. Man, I'm so hooked on the cannabis.
Cannabis smoking so fabulous.
Cannabis, cannabis, cannabis,
cannabis.
Me and my homies be smoking cannabis,
cannabis.
And we be smoking purple like amethyst,
like amethyst.
I got a new strain, it's called unanimous. Bobbin, bobbin to the music.
Damn.
We be tipping strippers for music.
We need some wine.
About to take a trip to Colorado. And I'm getting me a few blue bottles. Holla at my nephew up in Denver. Haven't seen him since I could remember.
You got big as a motherfucker.
Now he's smoking skunk just like his uncle.
Damn.
Sour diesel smelling kind of funky. Sometimes I smoke for recreation.
I'm broke. Time to get something to eat.
Edibles, I got the munchies.
But whatever I eat,
I'm about to slaughter something.
I'm hungry.
Hungry than a motherfucker.
Got smoke.
I just smoke some head butter.
Cannabis,
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 cannabis.
Me and my homies be smoking cannabis,
cannabis.
And we be smoking purple like amethyst.
Like amethyst.
I got a new strain, it's called unanimous.
yeah, what it do? This your man King Eric the Media Assassin. You're now tuned in on a double-headed exclusive of Off the Cuff Radio, show sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Jesse's Boutique, and Core Financial. Got my host T-Max with the facts in the building.
And what it do, y'all? This has been another tremendous Thursday night. Doubleheader of OTC up in the building. And shout out to our co-host, Mr. Carolina Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. We are back again, and we are doing it once more for your listening pleasure. We're happy to have you with us. And King, tell us who we, tell everybody, you know, tell us who we got tonight, man.
Now, I'm going to be honest with y'all, man. I'm going to be real, because you know what we're doing off the cuff radio, we be truthful to our audience. Your boy kind of botched a little bit with the flyer.
Okay.
I think I accidentally put the wrong number on the flyer by mistake. So, honestly, we have two artists that we're supposed to have on the show tonight, and to be honest with you, I don't know who's on the line right now, so we're just going to freestyle it, man. But
okay,
here's what we're going to do here. I'm going to freestyle it right here. This artist right here on the line tonight, I'm going both ways so I can make both of them feel good.
Gotcha.
This artist on the line tonight, very talented individual, been putting it down for a minute on the independent scene, steady on that grind, making the Atlanta scene proud. I mean, this brother got work with Pastor Troy, Moby Dick, my friend Young Bleed.
Oh, man.
He's making quite noise, man, and we played his first single, Cannabis, on the air just now. So to give us more insight on his grind, his path, his music, let's all welcome True Scotchy to Off the Cuff Radio.
What it do?
What's going on? What it do, man?
What's going on, man? Go ahead,
I got it right, man. I was sweating bullets.
How y'all doing? What's going on out there?
What's good, man?
We good, man. What's going on with you? Great to have you with us, man. How you doing?
I'm maintaining. Everything good. Just out here trying to stay dry with this wet weather out here, man. So, you know, getting everything together.
Yeah. Man, look, you know, in VA, you know, we had that snow and everything, so while y'all were getting wet down there, we were getting froze out, so we digging out the igloos and everything. Yeah, so we're glad to see, you know, y'all beginning to dry out from the rain and whatnot. Great to have you with us, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah, man, from Atlanta, man. Been doing music, man, so I can remember. So young, since a young tender. I actually started making my first beat machine I bought was in Virginia. I stayed in Virginia Beach.
Okay. 75 stand up, man.
Yeah. Back in the day, you know what I'm saying, started my first thing. I really took it serious then, back in about early 2000s. So I just been grinding ever since, staying consistent.
Definitely. You coming from Atlanta, you definitely come from a place where there is a very long and distinguished line of, you know, entertainment, you know, music, sports. I mean, all the way from the Atlanta Braves. Shout out to y'all once again for winning the World Series, you know, back in 2021.
Okay, appreciate that.
I mean, of course, you know.
And them bulldogs, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
dogs,
yeah, oh, man, so. Can't forget the dogs, man. I mean, look. Look, shout out to, man, look, 40 years, man, and y'all did it.
Hey,
shout out to Athens, Georgia, you know, Go Dawgs Nation. I mean, look, shout out to all the former and past Bulldogs. They got Herschel Walker, you know, of course,
man.
Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford
Aaron
went to
Murray.
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
man. But Matt Stafford went to Super Bowl, though. See, this year, that's Georgia,
yeah,
too.
I mean, y'all got... I mean, everything that y'all have just speaks sauce, swag, and balls. And y'all have really held it down out there for so long. During your musical journey, man, what was it like just coming from a place of such a esteemed reputation? I mean, this is a place where Outkast, I mean, of course, Pastor Troy, Jermaine Dupri, Crisscross, LaFace Records, TLC, Goody Mob. We haven't even appropriately gotten everybody. That's just a short list.
Right. You know what? You know what's crazy though? It makes it because it's so many people here that does music, man. It's like we see those people every day. So it takes away competition saying, well, I can't beat this guy because everybody does music. So it made it easier, I think, because you see what you can reach by the people you've been seeing every day. If they can do it, you can do it. You know what I'm saying? So I think in that aspect, it makes it easy. Like in another state, it might be 10 people that's a star. Everybody else is trying to figure out how to be one. But when half the people in your city is on the radio, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we need to find a channel to get on.
Yeah.
It worked out.
And it's cool, though, because, see, there was really no – y'all didn't really look at it as competition. Y'all looked at it like motivation because in different sectors, like the East Coast, it's like a very competitive atmosphere to where a lot of people won't even do collaborations like that. But whereas in Atlanta, it was more so like a more get together, get along type deal.
Right. Because it was, you know, we danced. We strip club. We the strip club city. You know what I'm saying? So
what's
we was on mostly the dancers. And so, you know, we were the most on the dancers and the dances back then, you know. So we weren't caught up in too much of the street stuff. We had street rappers, but you still had to have a strip club song. I don't care if you was a gangster rapper in Atlanta. You had to have a strip club song or be on somebody's song that was doing one.
Yeah.
That was our first thing.
One thing about the strip club culture down in Atlanta, I knew y'all shit was major because this was years ago for those that really know that sports history, years and years ago with the Gold Club, because you know where I'm going with this. That whole situation they had with that federal investigation with the Gold Club and then some problems that NBA players got called into the trial and everything.
I was like,
man, they got racketeered and talking about niggas getting, like, you know, broke off and, like, chicks, like, flopping them down and all that. I was like, man, I'm like, okay, it really does go down like that out there.
Yeah, you got your spots, you know what I'm saying? But overall, like the strip club scene in Atlanta, it's, some people see it as a strip club scene, but some clubs see a lot of people's families in the city, you know what I'm saying? Besides the dancers, not kind of dancers, like just the regular people that just work there. Because it's like, what, 20, 30 strip clubs in Atlanta? You know what I'm saying?
Man, look, shout out to club, the Platinum, you know, Gold Club.
Blue Flame,
you know,
Stroke
of course,
Club.
The Blue Flame, Magic City, of course.
Magic City.
I mean, you know, and it's crazy because when we look at it, the strip club culture there has been legendary. You know, I had to poke a little fun about it, but I'm so serious. Because one thing about people really have to understand, it's like the strip club game out there is just beyond anything I think a lot of people see because we've heard the stories for so many years about how a lot of young ladies, you know, went to school, who paid their houses, their cars off, you know, all of that by dancing. You know what I mean? And that shows you how much money, you know, was being made in the club. There still is.
Right now, every week. I know people still dance and go and wake up in the morning, take their kids to school, and do the same thing a regular person do every day. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean.
Yeah, it's a job.
It is a job. You know? Exactly.
Now, you being from Atlanta, I want to shoot this to you here. Now, you being from Atlanta and everything, and you seeing guys like T.I., he opened up doors for the new Atlanta, so to speak. I mean, guy brought a lot of accolades, and he did movies. Now, the movie ATL, did that really describe the vibes of Atlanta to a T?
No, not really. I mean, in a sense. The skating part was like that back in the day. We did skate. Skating was big. I mean, that means like the Golden Glide, all the stuff they showed, that was too, especially on the east side. But that part was, some of the other stuff they put in wasn't, but the skating part was big here. That was real. Like, we got out of school back then, and we actually went skating for real, and everybody was at the skating rink for real, and stuff did happen in the skating rink, just like a club. So, obviously. Gay Wings was closed back then. For the young people anyway.
Gotcha. Now I'm gonna do the flip side of King's question with that. What about the television show on FX, Atlanta? Shout out to Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino, Zazie Bates, the whole cast. How does that TV show represent Atlanta in terms of the lifestyle there?
Which show?
Yeah, Atlanta. That comes on FX.
Oh, you know what, man? It ain't Atlanta. Like most people that do anything that get to Atlanta, they're gonna pick the east side of Atlanta. Most time they do, like, even they did Baps. Remember Baps, movie Baps?
Yeah, Blackout.
Yeah,
Calabaria. Yeah,
yeah. That movie was east side, but that's not an east side girl. Period in Atlanta that looks like that. that's the wrong side of town. So like the way they portray Atlanta with stuff with movies, we don't really get into it because we know. We lay back here. We don't really do, like, the stuff that's going on the news now, people getting shot and all this running around out here. We don't do that here. It's people mm-hmm. that have moved here who have made the city like it is. We too laid back here. If you come to Atlanta, Southern hospitality, people speak, strip club, we go eat, you know what I'm saying? And if it's some beef, it stays right there where it was at. You know, we don't take it nowhere else. You know what I'm saying? So they bring it here, they do this stuff here, and they make it seem like Atlanta is wild. But most of the people that did it, not even from here.
Yeah.
Out of towners.
You know, yeah. And you know, one thing about it, too, is whenever there's a movie or television show, there's always some sensationalism that has to be, you know, exercised because it's about entertainment. And it has to, and it's embellished a lot of times. But when you're looking at it, I've told this story on the show many a time. This was years ago when me and my family went down there. And we drove by still, man. I was just telling my dad, stop the car and just let me out and just let me run wild over there. I was 17 at the time. I'm like, just let me run over still and just be wild over there for like 8-9
right.
hours.
She's like 8-9 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Look. You remember that old Foghorn Leghorn cartoon with the baby rooster running up in the hen house? That was going to be me. I mean, of course, it's shopping. You know, shout out to Lynch, shout out to Greenbrier, of course, rest in peace to the Underground. Of course, Peachtree. What about
like,
business, man?
Man, they supposed to have one. They got one this year, but it's a concert.
Okay.
The big concert, they have Freak Nick. They do have Freak Nick 2022 coming this year. So if you're in the city, holler at me. You're coming down. You're supposed to have some stuff going on in the city. So
are we going to get Freak Nick of old?
You said what? Oh, man, that Freak Nick ain't coming back. They killed me.
Nah, man. That's
man,
like
that
the old, it's
the,
like the
oh
old WWF. You ain't going to get that back. That's a different
issue. Yeah, you're going to get that back. They killed that. Ooh. Man, when everybody from every state drives to your city, it was out of hand. It got out of hand. You couldn't even go nowhere. I mean, like, walking down the expressway, you just park your car on the expressway and just walk. You know what I'm saying? You had to worry about nobody stealing your car. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they.
It's crazy.
But, you know, no cap, y'all. But that's how they said that's how it was back in the 90s. Like, literally, and we're not embellishing this on this show. They estimated back in roughly the years between 1989 and 96. They said every year on average for Freaknik, there was at least roughly about 100,000 to 120,000 college students from all over the country, you know, whether they fly in or whether they drive in. And when they talk about gridlock on 95, it was like, that's how it was. Peachtree, that's how it was. Literally, everybody... It was just one big-ass party.
In the whole entire city, literally, like on the express highway, the highways and byways with people. Cars were just parked. That was every year. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like, especially the 90s, the early 90s, man, it wasn't nothing like it. Like, people still talk about it to this day. Like, even when I go anywhere to another interview or any other show, they bring it up because they're like, dude, when y'all going to do that again? The city ain't going to have it again. It's too much.
Matt Dawes, imagine if camera phones were around then, because we got, if you were lucky enough back in the day to get video cassettes
we had Instagram back then, and
Shout out to Kid Money, you know, the rest in peace, you know, the Slack Pack, of course, the two surviving members, you know, Uncle Head and Q Dog. Those are uncles, man, you know, much respect. And they would tell us the stories about how, you know, went down to Florida and Atlanta, you know, in terms of Black Beach Week in Florida, of course.
Yeah.
You know how we'll go down Atlanta. I mean, one thing about it, man, is, you know, and King and myself, you know, me and my brother, we always talk so much about those wild days, because that was really during a time when Atlanta was considered the mecca of the metropolis, the mecca.
Right.
That you had to be there if you were going to be there for a major party.
Exactly.
And when you look at the music scene of it, you're breaking it down into two iterations of what was considered, because it breaks down to three separate parts. Shout out to Babyface and L.A. Reid, what they did with the Face record. Of course, you had Pebbles and all of them, you know, doing what they did on the R&B tip. Then you bring it into the 90s. Your TLC,
Escape.
Then of course, Escape, you know, then of course you bring it to the hip hop, you know, of course, you know, Goody Mob, Outkast, Ghetto Mafia. Then you bring it into the next generation, of course. Can't leave out my folks, Jeezy, you know, shout out to Duncan Block, you know,
Gucci,
you know,
Mane.
Of course, Gucci Mane, I mean, shout out to Zone 6, Zone 3. D. Pharrell, shout out Bowen Holmes.
Shout
out
to Lowe. Shout out to Lowe.
Shout out to Lowe, rest in peace. Ludacris, of course. You know, it's Chris Lover Lover, for those who really know his history in terms of being a DJ down there. And even, you know, we got to say Kanye, because Kanye was born in Atlanta. A lot of people don't know
Kanye,
that.
Yeah, Kanye. Yeah, Kanye was born in Atlanta.
So we're looking at all of these different iterations and different eras of the music, and we haven't even gotten into some of the underground heads like J Futuristic, 4-4 Mafia, and all of them.
There's a lot of, man, a lot of, got Kilo. Man, like Kilo had the clubs on Smack, even to this day he do, when they book him now. So, I mean, Pastor Troy, still getting booked every week, you know what I'm saying? So, it's big, man, I'm not even gonna lie. Still.
Yeah.
You got a little baby in
Hollywood
right now,
so
still going. You got a little baby,
I mean, Monica,
in the Migos.
I mean, Monica with Dallas Austin, you know, and all of them. I mean, you know, Usher from Atlanta. I mean, I don't think a lot of times when you look at the history of it, I think, you know, and everybody kind of looks at Atlanta now for where the, you know, where the history, you know, where their place is. I mean, we got to look at Lil Jon. A lot of people looking at Lil Jon as a John to come later. But I'm like, you know, Lil Jon, you know, shout out to Mr. Yeah himself. You know, he was doing that back in 1996, you know, doing,
man,
house parties and all that.
Yeah, 96 was the year, man, with Lil Jon and the Eastside Boys. Man, they had the clubs on. You couldn't go to the club without that being on. To the windows, to the walls. You're going to get naked. They're going to get naked in the club when they come on.
Oh, Lord. Oh, see,
tell you, man. Man, I'm telling you. It's like now, certain clubs now you go to, man, it's still like that. You know what I'm saying? It haven't left. It left on the outskirts, as far as you've seen it from the outside, but the love in the club still like that when you come to Atlanta, man. It hasn't changed. The food is still good in the club, especially the best food in the strip clubs anyway in Atlanta. So you want to eat?
Yes, it is.
Go to the strip club in Atlanta. You're gonna get some good food. So,
Another hint for the hustlers out there. One of my homegirls told me this: if you want to close a deal in terms of really tall business, go to the strip club. That's where you go to get the deal closed.
Have a meeting. Have a meeting. Go get something to eat. Get your little station. Talk it up. You close the deal. You're definitely right. You're right.
And most importantly, come with a good vibe.
You'll definitely get a good vibe. You definitely get that.
Yeah, you come with a good vibe. You don't want to come with no bad vibe. You don't want to get thrown out the window like Ice Cube at Players Club. You know what I mean?
Man, they will do it too. I done seen them get thrown out the same way. Yes. Definitely.
When you look at your ascent of what you were doing with the game, man, how was it? What made you really decide to get into it in terms of really staking your claim in terms of seeing what was going on and really deciding, you know, this is what I want to do doing? Who inspired you?
But I've been, you know, my mom managed the bass player for Outkast, Good and Mob, which is Preston Crump.
Oh, wow.
You look him up. Preston Crump is a diamond. It's the bass, the real, like, not the beat machine, the actual bass line you heard from Outkast, Good and Mob, TLC, En Vogue, all that era. She managed that bass player. So I was around all T.I., Outkast, and they first got their first deal and stuff. But she wasn't going to throw me in the fire.
Wow.
She told me, when your time come, it's on you. I'm not going to put you in it because it's a treacherous game, and you need to learn it, and you need to really know what you want to do, because a lot of people just really playing. There's a lot of money involved. You know, the game is crazy. So I've been around it since I was young and paying attention, you know. And once I found my niche in it, she said, well, you seem like, I think you find out what you want to do. Go ahead, you know. But I didn't make it my – I made it my primary, but I had to make sure I had the funds to back it, you know what I'm saying, if I was going to do it, because there's no reason just to do it and not just for the hell of it. But I knew I would be doing music if I wasn't getting paid for it. That's how much passion I had for it. So it really didn't matter if I was getting paid for it or not. But I learned the business part of it, and then that's when I really went into it in depth.
Now, what was it like seeing all these acts like Atlanta, like when that, especially that whole Organized Noise collection? You know, shout out to Pat Brown, Wade Murray, Rico Waves, you know, just that whole, because, you know, that's the crux of it in terms of the production. But to see Big Boy, you know, Andre Pat and Andre Benjamin, to see what they became, of course, Killer Mike will come later on. Society of Soul, oh my God. For those that have not heard that Society of Soul album, I know it's hard to find now, but if you have not heard that album, what was it like to watch all of them just come along and really, like, make their name? I mean, Andre 3000, you know, he said at the Source Awards back in 95, the South got something to say.
Yeah. Say that part, say the last part again.
What was it like when Andre Benjamin, you know, when Andre 3000 said the South got something to say at the Source Awards back in 1995, what was that like to really see all of these acts really start in the mid-90s and the early 2000s really begin to not only become big, but become trendsetters in the industry?
You know what? You know what's crazy about that situation, man? Andre never spoke. He was very introvert. He's an introvert. He didn't speak. He used to be the studio man, sitting outside talking. I mean, drawing. He draw a lot. So he was not a talker.
Yeah.
And when we saw him go on that stage and say that, man, the city was like, what the hell just happened? They done, you know, woke a sleeping giant up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it really brought a lot of inspiration to the city, because we didn't have a voice from Atlanta on that platform. They like opened, you know, gave us their voice for because nobody really, unless you didn't came down south, you knew about Atlanta itself, but the artist itself, you didn't know much about it. You came down south because the East Coast and the West had it on lock.
Right.
So when they came and got in the game, man, it really opened up a door for a lot of us to really just have a voice. So they was getting much love in New York. Outkast and Good Mom was in New York, like they lived there. When they got on, you know what I'm saying? Even when Gucci got on, he had to go to New York. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and
you had to go to New York to get on, period, baby.
Yes, and you know, one thing about it is, for those that really knew, because we're thinking about it in the 1994 when their album first dropped, it was different. Not bad,
right.
It was just different. You know, so you're still thinking about that time in the early 90s where hip-hop, especially with New York, is still going through that hardcore phase. And, of course, the West Coast with Death Row. Shout out to everybody you know over there. So Outkast was representing a certain shift. As great as the first album was, Southern Playlist, Funky, you know, Cadillac Music, you know, That second album, ATL, is just on another level. I mean,
man, totally.
I mean, we didn't even the level. King and myself talked about
albums.
I mean,
yeah, the production was crazy.
Yes, it was, and to hear Drake kick it off on Return of the G with his opening verse, we were like, oh my fucking God, like this nigga just like went light years ahead on the first album, the cadence, the way the pattern in terms of the triple time flow he was using on that was just beyond. I mean, this was the beginning of Three Stacks. Coincidentally, the
right.
time he started messing with Erykah Badu, but that's a whole different story.
Right. Erykah Badu had
but,
a start, too.
Yeah, but I mean, but they did, Outkast, it took them a while for the listening public to really accept them because they were different. New York wasn't, you know, totally receptive, and I think that's what Andre was making that declaration of, like, yo, we're nice at this, and we're going to show y'all not only that we're nice, but the people from our region are nice.
Right. Man, if you was here when they dropped Bones Over Baby,
mm-hmm. man, how big
oh,
was
Bones
that
Over
y'all?
Baghdad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that was incredible.
But that,
you know,
like, what you're saying right now, from what you're about to ask me right now, when that, well, you got to realize, we had to accept Outkast as well as a city because their music was so different from what we, you know what I'm saying, from what even they grew up on in Atlanta. So when they went on the radio with Greg Street and they played the new Outkast, like, they had to play it like 10 times, dude. Like 10 times, literally. Like, because we was like, what the hell was that? And about, cause,
was,
so back then you tuned in. You had to tune into the radio to get new music back then. Now you just go online and get it. But back then, everybody tuned into the radio. Then you hear, Bombs Over Baghdad. We was like, what the hell is this? You know? And when Greg Street played it, it came back in, played it again. Then it was like, we know it's different. We know we just see them now, you know? And it actually, and they started playing in the strip clubs and they started playing it. Then we started getting the catching the vibe to it. It was over with from that point. But we had to accept Outkast as well because Outkast was, they went to a whole other level, period. Like, just like you said from Lennon, we can understand it either. You know? The lingo,
but
yes. But the,
yeah. But, and the funny thing, I was reading, I was watching that video on YouTube a year and a half ago, just going back on the nostalgia tip, and somebody wrote a comment that was just, like, it hit like a ton of bricks. And they were like, yo, if you release, you know, of course, that was off, you know, the Stankonia album that came out in 2000. And somebody wrote a comment section, if this song had been released today, this shit would be bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be. Because it's beyond its time, you know what I'm saying? It's ahead of its time. So, you know, they supposed to be dropping something new from what we hear. We waiting for it. Andre came out the bushes. So,
yeah.
It's
crazy because XXL a few years ago, they talked about that, and they were talking about the, I think it was with the issue, there was a double issue they did with both of them having a cover, you know,
right.
Big Boy on one and Andre on the other. They were talking about the legal aspects in terms of what was going on because of the time with the face. That contractually they were still owed LaFace one more record.
Right.
Andre was like, we have all the music in terms of the beats, we just have to write the lyrics. But there was also some issues about the holdup as to what happened, as to why. For those who can find that issue on eBay, go get it. It's definitely worth the read because it really breaks down that history. I believe that is damn near over 10 years ago that came out. Close to 15 years ago. Yeah. So they were talking about just about, you know, the issues in terms of Andre's solo album and how there were some holdups with that in terms of the contract and everything. And when you have seen everything, because obviously you came up in this, And when you went into this, what did you learn about the business aspect of it in terms of marketing, getting your music out there, and just understanding how important it is to really touch with your base in terms of knowing what your demographic is and how to really, really appeal to?
From that point, that independence stood out more from that point, because when everybody, the contracts is what killed a lot of stuff, and it also made enemies, a lot of enemies. I seen a lot of enemies. I seen a lot of enemies in Atlanta. I mean, a lot of enemies in Atlanta. People that shouldn't be enemies in Atlanta because of a contract, you know. So, independently, I looked at it as, can I provide my marketing for myself, and what would it take, you know? So, in Atlanta, if you meet people on a a personal level than music, you had a better opportunity, because you wasn't friends because you wanted something from somebody else about music. You had a relationship outside of it. So I built a lot of relationships outside of music that made it easy for me to go call somebody and say, hey, can I get this done? Because I haven't been trying to get music from you from the beginning. We're not friends on that level. So I think building a relationship with people outside of the topic makes it easier to market and move around Atlanta, definitely in Atlanta. Because if you know, you can move around Atlanta just like a rich person can move around Atlanta if you know people. So it made it easier. So I think being more independent and building a relationship with people outside of music made it easier to market and to do a lot of different things, because people gave you their honest opinion about what you had going on.
Yeah,
networking
and
is a key factor getting out there, because people don't understand that it ain't even really only about your talent. It's about your networking.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's a key.
And,
that's a big key.
And see what y'all doing right now. I mean, Tyler Perry got his studio there. Of course, Rick Ross got that big-ass house.
Yeah.
Of course, on another native of Atlanta, Deuce Poppy, a.k.a. Whole Slab, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I can't forget him.
Yeah.
Shout out to the whole MMG. You know, Raw Slab, you know, Gita K, you know, Trop, you know, John Austin, you know, Nick Garcia, you know, that whole clique. I mean, it's like, but one thing, you all, for the better part of the last 34, 35 years, have really just held the crown. When you talk about networking, what has it been like for you in terms of just interacting with artists, doing the shows and the clubs? I think one thing that sticks out about Atlanta music culture is that the independent hustle out there, probably next to the Bay Area and New York, is just on another level, because it's like in Atlanta, we've seen artists that literally don't have to go outside of Atlanta to get rich. You know, you really can make your money there, because if the people rock with you, you really got it.
Yeah. You can do it. Like, be under with you, man. Most people's songs that broke, that's really, really ending, that they really didn't sign with no small, not even a small label. What we do here, we might be still in Georgia. We might not be in actual Atlanta to get played, because it's, you know, every major city is so expensive to get your stuff on the radio. If you go, like, to Alabama or South Georgia, Savannah, and you can catch a smaller market as far as radio down there, and then just club hop, man, you can turn up and eat every other day, because clubs don't close in Atlanta. So once you get a buzz, you just got to stay on your buzz. And people are going to book you because they all want somebody at the club, because the clubs don't close here. You know, we're 24/7. So if a strip club got a girl, got a birthday party, and they need a rapper, they can't get a major rapper, but they know they can call Lil Janet down the hill. They've been turning up the clubs for the last 2 weeks. She get a check. Saying, don't have a deal, probably don't have the paperwork right. You know what I'm saying? But he get booked because he done turned up in the city. But when it comes to that part, then they do get a deal. That's when they get stuck in the paperwork, and then now it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of guys came out of Atlanta like that turned up in the clubs and then got a deal and then fell off because the paperwork was messed up. So I think I think the younger generation that's coming up now, they don't want to spend no money on nothing. They think because of they rap good that you're supposed to just play it. But it's showing you that it's more of a business now than your actual talents. You know what I'm saying? What can you bring to the table? How can all of us eat off this situation? Even though you can rap good, there's 50 more dudes that can rap down the street just as good as you. What makes us want to deal with you? So
now speaking of the new generation in Atlanta, man, because there was a story. This was years ago. Shout out to MTV, MTV.com some years ago, because what happened was they actually did an article, true, about what was about the Migos rise, about how the Migos, I think it was titled How the Migos Took Over the World.
Right.
That was a hell of an article. I mean, they literally broke down the Migos' musical journey in terms of how they started. You know, a shout out Quavo, Offset, and Takeoff. I mean, they literally broke down, like, people just see them as, you know, a trio of Bad and Bougie, but those guys really worked behind the scenes to get to where they were.
Yeah, they were different. They were all separate artists, too. They weren't even together. They weren't in a group. They made them a group.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as a matter of fact, my producer, DJ Plug, he produced their music then before they got on as well.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he did their first. And then they got a video. They got a video. And his artist T-Hood had a song with them as well. It's a video on YouTube with that, too. T-Hood got a video with Migos before they got big, and Plug produced for them before they got they took off and got and went major.
Hmm. I mean, we just got exclusive on this show because we didn't know that until you told us. I mean, so you've been in the loop of this for a long time. So obviously, you know, obviously from the work you put in and the quality of the music you put out, you know what makes a winner. We've talked about this on the show so much, True, about what it is about a lot of artists. Like you said, a lot of artists think they can rap good and that's going to get them on. But the thing is, you really have to get out, kiss the babies, touch the fans. You have to really be able to reach your audience. In terms of not only being talented, how important is it to remain humble, accessible, grateful, and appreciative to your fans? And understanding the opportunity that you have been given in the game. Because some artists, humility is not on the top list of attributes and qualities that are essential for longevity.
Well, definitely. What the problem with that is they stop artist development. They don't have artist development anymore. Before you got to do anything in the music game, you had to go through artist development. You had to do interviews, how to talk, proper etiquette. You know what I'm saying? So when they took that away, you got a random person just come out of the street and you say, ask them a question. They don't know what to say. They're just going off of whatever the hell. But it kills the situation. You know what I'm saying? So one thing Pastor Troy told me a long time ago, he said, the internet is cool. All the blog, whatever you got to do is cool. He said, but if you're not out here touching the people's hands and actually meeting these people and these people actually seeing you as genuine or if you're genuine or not, they want to see your real face. And once people understand you and see your real face, then they can actually know you for you. And so that's what I took that from him wholeheartedly, and I started going out to make sure I actually are meeting the people that's liking my music, if I can get there. You know, take a piece of talk to them. They got questions, you know what I'm saying? They want to know how to do something or whatever, if I can assist them. You know what I'm saying? I do that. But that's one thing Pastor Troy told me, and I stuck with it. That's why he's still eating right now, you know what I'm saying? The Georgia Bulldogs, you got the fourth quarter song at Georgia. For Georgia Bulldogs, when they play fourth quarter down, they play We Ready in the whole stadium. Then he got a contract with the Falcons now. So the Falcons touchdown song, they play him in the Falcons game now. So he set a trend, and shit, man, he's the idol I look at when it comes to business-wise because he knew what to do.
Man, look, we still tripping off of that 90s beef where he had with Master P. Man.
Oh, exactly. He thought, you know, he tried not to get into that too much because there was a lot going on at that time, but he put himself out there with that one.
He did.
But Master P was wrong for that, though, because he sent his money back, you know. He told him to get right and sit, you know, kept his bread. You know what I'm saying? I think he sent Master P $1,000 in his demo. Mm-hmm. And Master P told him to get right, get better, and keep his bread. So we ready.
And then that was a situation where Troy, I think, was trying to say that P tried to blackball him, trying to tell labels not to sign him as such.
He did it.
Yeah.
Definitely happened to Triple X. That's why Triple X moved the next move. You didn't see Pastor Tony next Triple X, did you? Or to say, you know, that was the last of Pastor Tony made the platform from that point when they said that, that was the story I heard anyway. I can't say it's factual, but they say about P stopped that situation with that. So.
Mm. Yeah. Disclaimer on Officer
T-Max, I got called a little bit early because you got to take care of a situation. So we definitely appreciate you building with us, man. I mean, we had a great tour guide to Atlanta and learning the culture even more. Definitely welcome to come back on.
Yes. We got to do a part two.
Appreciate y'all, man. Really do. Thank y'all. Appreciate it, man.
Tell people where you, tell
people
where they can find you at before you go.
Okay, you reach me anything on social media on the net. True Scotchy, TRUUSCOTCHY. You can find me anywhere. I'll be music on all streaming platforms. Website to be up this weekend, so I'll be sending you a link to that website. So I got a lot of stuff on that merch coming and everything.
Definitely, man. True. I just dropped you a follow on IG, TMaxTheBA. I left a comment in the section. Really appreciate you coming on our show, man. Thank you so much. Like King said, you're welcome back anytime. And we're just so honored. We're so happy to have had you on, man. Thank you. Thank you again.
I appreciate y'all, man. And I get with y'all, too, to send some merch up that way. So definitely send me some links. So I'll send y'all some stuff up that way.
Yeah, definitely. Check your DM. We'll send you our information, and we'll go from there.
That's a 10-4, man. Y'all be safe.
Info, man. Thank you again.
All right. No problem.
All right. Peace. One. Be blessed.
Yes, sir. Now we about to go on to hour number two. We about to go on a little brief music break. When we come back, we're going to bring on my man Louis D in the building.
Yep.
So
all
right. Get y'all with some joints. Be back shortly.
All righty. Be right back.
Much better when I'm getting my check. I just laugh when I'm throwing my tag. I get more haters when I get more paper. I'm trying to get more. I see you later. Cause damn, I'm paid. I'm so paid. Damn, I'm paid. I'm so paid. Damn, I'm paid. I'm so paid. I'm so paid. Damn, I'm paid. Money still stacking, haters still acting. I'm still doing me, I'm still laughing. I'm just rapping, but it look like I'm trapping. But don't try me, I'm big gun packing. I put that on everything, yeah I mean everything. Go ball at the mall and try to buy everything. Louis shirt, Louis fit, don't forget the Louis rag. She say dang, that's more than my bag. Yes, I be ballin', she be callin'. He be hatin', but he be walkin'. I be drivin' by real slow, no stoppin'. I feel like a Kuda Masada, no problem. Pull up at the trap, all love, no strap. I get love in the hood, check my stack. Real till I die, homie, that's a fact. I do what I say, homie, I don't just rap.
I feel much better when I'm gettin' my check. I just laugh when I'm throwin' my tag. I get more haters when I get more paper. I'm tryna get more, I see you later.
I'm so paid, damn I'm paid, I'm so paid, damn I'm paid, I'm so paid.
think, make money, so it's funny, I don't care what you think, I'm a boss till I fall, get paid. Till I think, make money, so it's funny, I don't care what you think, I'm a boss till I fall, get paid. Till I think, make money, so it's funny, I don't care what you think, I'm a boss till I fall, get paid. Till I think, make money, so it's funny, I don't care what you think. I feel much better when I'm getting my check. I just laugh when I'm throwing my check. I get more haters when I get more paper. I'm trying to get more. I see you later.
Tell you, King, that club That club scene between the years of 2003 and 2011 was just something that you had to have been there to experience. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, this is between, this is the years, you know, T.I. dropped trap music. Of course, Jeezy in 2005 would drop 101. Jim Jones would drop, you know, Pomy, Part of My Environment in 2006. I mean, Shop Boys, I mean, you know, Franchise Boys, oh, God, man. It was, like Drake said, what a time to be alive.
Crazy, man.
It was just something.
Yeah, it was
scary.
A crazy scene. And, you know, we got him on the line right now to further build off the conversation, man. This brother's very talented. He represented my backyard, the Carolinas, man. What's all welcome, Louis D on the line. What's good, brother?
Yeah. What's going on with you, man?
Yep. How y'all doing, man? Good talking to y'all tonight, man. Thanks for the invite, brother.
Man, look, thank
man,
you
look,
for accepting
you,
our
man,
invite and joining
I was
us,
like
man.
I told him, that joint that I played, the first joint I played from you, man, made me want to revisit the club, and I've been gone for 5 years.
Yeah, that's a good thing, man. I need to see you some more tracks like that, then.
Yeah, I've been retired for 5 years from the club scene, man, so you gave us that itch back. I'm going to have to pull up then.
Yeah, it's good, man. Good to give you that energy, bro.
Absolutely, man. But welcome to the show, man. We're glad to have you on. You represent my neck of the woods, the Carolinas. So for people that are, you know, just tuning in, tell us about what you got going on and tell us about your story.
Okay, yeah, right now, man, we just working, man, dropping a lot of projects. I got a co-venture partnership we're working on right now with this private equity firm. And really, man, I got two projects I got to knock out with this deal. And as soon as I knock out this, I'll be a free agent kind of again. I'm still independent. I'm just doing things with some private companies, just getting the funds that we need, you know, so I can keep dropping projects. And, you know, you're right, though. A lot of these songs did come from the archive. I'm not going to say necessarily what year they came out, but a few of them are archive music. You know, I got a dope catalog of a lot of music, man. You know, I lost the database of over 300 songs. So, you know, we just trying
man.
To get – yeah, man, one of my dudes, man, my computer tech guy, he was supposed to be transferring a lot of music to the new database, and a lot of it got deleted, man. So it kind of hurt him. But, yeah, man, so I'm back crawling, man. I'm crawling back. But, you know, that's the whole nature of this game, man, you know, being able to compete, create, and recreate. So, you know, that's right now, just rapping and creating and, you know, putting new sounds out and, you know, working on some new projects just to just to get people back, you know, reintroduced to me. You know, that's what that got that glow track kind of do is a reintroduction to the people, letting them know, you know, who I am, what I do, and, you know, my story, man. I am a Carolina boy. I'm born and raised in Winnsboro, South Carolina. Moved to Charlotte, like, 2012. So, you know, I'm just Carolina, man. I've always been in the Carolinas. I've been back and forth from the West Coast to the East Coast right now, knocking out these projects. But, man, you know, it's Carolinas to the heart, man. I love the Carolinas, especially, you know, being able to see all of it, man. You know, not even – we was at a point where we was striving to get inside the music business. Now it's like they looking for Carolina artists now, you know.
Man, I mean, so who are some of your influences in terms of getting in the game? Who inspired you to rap?
Oh, man, I grew up in that era that y'all was talking about, man, like Master P, the T.I.s, the No Limits, you know, the Wu-Tang, Jay-Z was a huge influence, Nas was a huge influence. I come from the lyrical background. I grew up, like, just inspired by the lyrics, man, the people who wrote Tupac, the Biggie, the real poets, the Big Daddy Kane, LL Cool J, and, you know, like, being from the South, though, I was inspired by, you know, Outkast, Lil Wayne, T.I., Rick Ross, you know, just, you know, a lot of the people who talk about stuff in their music. I ain't really, you know, listen to a lot of the artists that just be, you know, doing a whole bunch of bullshit. But, you know, I tune into everybody, though, man. I kind of get inspired by everybody on a certain different type of level, man. I'm cool with admitting that.
Definitely, definitely. And one thing,
yeah,
about
it shows
it, man,
you a student of the game. But see, that's what makes us Carolina boys stand out, because, you know, we kind of like an epicenter. We on the East Coast, but we not on the East Coast. We on the South, but we not in the South. So, therefore, we get the game both ways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you saying it from how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. Like, yeah, you broke it down to a T, man.
Hey, so that's why they look at us. They be like, man, where you from? See, we could camouflage like that. Or, you know, we in the North and we in the South, so we get best of both worlds.
Yep. Yeah, that's how I grew up, actually, man. A lot of people not knowing I'm from the Carolinas, even still to this day, man, people think I'm from all over the place. Atlanta, they embrace me like I'm from the A. New York, think I'm from New York, like, It's cool, though. You know, I like the love everywhere, man. Even growing up in South Carolina, man, you know, cats used to talk trash back in the day, saying I sound like I'm from upstate. But, nah, man, I'm Carolina, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and it definitely shows, it definitely brings about a mass appeal in terms of, you know, really, you know, getting to a wide array of an audience. What has it been like for you on the musical journey, and what has it been like to really be able to connect with your audience? When did you know that you really had a chance to be successful with this?
Yeah, it's been a while, you know, as far as knowing when I first felt like I had that glow, shit, really, you know, like I tell everybody, you know, my first tour kind of solidified it. My first tour was with Pitbull. And, you know, that kind of solidified a lot of the things. It showed me, you know, how the game ran. It showed me how to book your own tours. And, you know, I kind of took those strategies and implemented it into my own organization. And that's how I was able to stay independent so long, because I got a chance to see it from the outside in, or the inside out. And, you know, just put all those strategies in place for myself, man. And, you know, just being in it, man, you know, that kept me grounded just by being in it. You know, the hard work. The hard time's going to come, but shit, the hard work, it masters all that, man. All you got to do is get out here and grind with it, even when it's hard, man. You know, just get out there and make sure people paying attention to you. If you can't create no attention, just create music, create work. That
brain to
attention.
Definitely. And one thing about it, you talked earlier about the business endeavors that you have, because over the past few years, we've seen a very, very positive jump in black entrepreneurship outside of entertainment, whether music or movies or whatever. To these up-and-coming young artists out there, we have a saying in business, in show business, known as the second act. In this case, you're pretty much in your first act of doing music, but you're already working in the second one of your business entrepreneurship. How important is it for artists to understand, in terms of understanding what the next wave is and getting on that, and just laying the groundwork for what comes after music?
Yeah, it's very important, man, because honestly, it looked like the artists out here, they be in the studio all day, which is true. They got labels and stuff behind them. But as an independent artist and as an upcoming artist, you got to understand that the labels is doing all the hard work. The artists just in the studio looking like they're having fun, but that's not the case. They knocking out 10% of the work. The music is only a small percentage of the work that got to be done, because as we see, you know, it takes more than one song to even get, you know, national recognition. So imagine worldwide recognition, how much that takes, you know. So artists just got to understand that part, man. It's never going to be easy, man. It's hard to even sum that up in like one conversation. You know, that joint take like different courses, man. One day we gotta talk about music publishing. The next day we gotta talk about copyright. The next day we gotta talk about branding and merchandising. Like, all that comes a part of it. So, you know, you got, even as an artist, you need to take days on what part of the game you gonna study today. You know, like if you just dropped it, or you about to drop a single or drop some work, you need to find out how you gonna put this work out. You know, even thinking on the street level, a lot of these cats coming from the street, think about it like as a street artist. You know, like if I got this new product, I ain't got nobody selling my work, I ain't got nobody helping me push this work, I gotta go find people to help me push it and people to buy it. So, you know, you gotta think about it on that level, man. This shit really hard work, you know. And that's the only way to kind of sum it up, man. You gotta take it a day at a time, but also educate yourself in it, because the business side is way more savvier and way more important than the music. You know, you must stay consistent with the music, but you got to stay more consistent with the business, because without the business structure behind it, that music will fade.
And that's
basically
real.
It's basically 30% music, 70% business.
Yeah, it's kind of changing up even on that, man. It's almost 90-10. You know, that business is probably like 90% now, and only 10% music, because, you know, like the music, it's on a bigger spread now. You know, first we was just looking at trying to get it on CDs and tape, and you know, now the digital world came in, that's a whole lot, it made it a whole lot easier, so you don't have to do so much work. And even with the dogs and the way we record now, back in the day, man, we're like, we had to really go to legit studios. Now all these plugins and all this stuff that you can have inside your crib, you can create a song in no time. Now you just gotta put that work behind it and make sure it's heard.
Definitely, man. And a lot of times artists have to understand this, you know, because like we just had True on the show, a lot of artists think that just because they think their music is dope or they can rap, that it's an automatic express lane to success. But there's so much more that you have to do to not only ensure your music getting out there, but ensure that you stay hot in the game. You know, we've seen a lot of artists, you know, make a splash, you know, but then again, that splash was only like a slicker in a rain puddle. It was brief. It ain't like you splash in the ocean and, you know, you keep having a tidal wave of terrific coming along. When you get into the game as an independent artist, what do you have to understand in terms of the diligence, the patience, the frustrations, the possibility that it may not work, keeping it real, and then understanding how to handle success when it does come?
Even with that, man, you know, like, artists got to understand it's so many jobs in the music business, not the industry.
Mm-hmm.
The industry, that's a whole nother language when you're talking music industry and music business. But in the music business, man, different jobs, like, it's bigger than just music, you know. So the artist got to understand that too. Even myself, I learned on different levels. Even with the Pitbull tour, like, a lot of the artists was back out there on the road, like, within that next month or so. I wasn't, because I didn't have the right representation at that time. I ain't have management.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't have law. I ain't have nothing at that time. So it's like, you got to have a lot of other things in place. Music is just one stepping stone, and you gotta find other avenues. So me, even right now at my current state, I was getting more money from songwriting than me performing songs myself. So I had to humble myself and just jump back and be like, all right, they don't want to listen to me right now. Let me just put out some work with other people's voices over my work and get popular a different way. So it's a game that you really gotta think in, man. Like, even with the artists, man, these artists ain't, you know, they not no dumb artists, man. Like, they really gotta think to be creative to put stuff out on social media and stuff. So as an independent artist, man, your whole job is to be creative. You gotta think of smart ways to be creative. Even if you gotta go help a event set down, set up the stage and break down the stage just to get your finger inside the game. You got to do that sometime, and me, that's me talking from a personal level. I done helped rock and roll events, hip-hop events, break down the stage, set up. We even did events ourselves, so it's like you just got to find other lanes inside that game just to keep yourself relevant, but also prevalent inside the music game. You don't want to not know what's going on, so because if you fade away, that joint will leave you, man. It'll leave you behind. By the time you wake up and pay attention to the music game again, it's something new in it. Now we're doing something bigger than streaming. Now there's another transition. So just got to watch it and be in it. Don't escape it. Be in it if you want to be in it. Get all the way in it. Find out how you can get other jobs in the music game. Write for other people. Go out here and do artwork. Do everything if you ask me, man. I do it all.
Now, when you talk about representation in terms of management, how important is it to have somebody who is versed in the legal aspects, understanding negotiations, just how the business is? Because too many times, though, we see people get in there and they're trying to put on their homeboys as management, you know, or they're trying to do it all themselves. What do people have to understand about how this business works in terms of you need to have people around you in terms of a solid team working on your behalf?
Yeah, it's needed. It's well needed. It's very much needed, man. You know, I was just saying that in another interview. The teams is the most important thing you can have, man. You know, even if it's just you and somebody else at that time, as long as it's not just you, because it's very hard to do it by yourself, man. I'm just keeping it real. It's very hard. You can do it to a certain point. Like, even myself, when I first moved to the city of Charlotte, man, people ain't know who I was, so I was out there telling people my real name, booking me, booking my artist, acting like I'm not the artist, too. So I get up in the meeting, people be like, yo, where Louie at? Nah, I'm Louie. Too late now. The deal already locked. The paperwork already locked in. You already heard the music. You fell in love with the artist. So, you know, sometimes you just got to, you got to do it yourself until you're able to build a team. But you need that other, you need the other help, man, because even Tiger Woods had a caddy, a coach, and other people on his team helping. You might just see one person on that golf course, but even a person like Tiger Woods had help.
Hmm.
Yeah, man, because
But Michael Jordan couldn't win those 6 rings by himself.
Nah, not at all, man, not at all. Wouldn't even got close.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one thing about it, man, is that Rick Ross wrote about this in the book, in his book, The Perfect, you know, Day to Boss Stuff. Shout out to Rose, Jeter K, Whole Slab, you know, a.k.a. Deuce Poppy, the whole M&G crew. Because Ross talked about how, you know, in terms of his team, you know, how important it is to build a solid team around you. And he talked about if there was ever a situation, he's like, there's two things he's proud of. Number one, that he's built up people who can stand on their own in terms of, you know, he's created an outlet for them to make money. And number two, if something happened to him, he knows there are people around him that'll make sure that the machine, you know, at MMG is still running strong in terms of what, you know, they put together.
Exactly.
And that's the most important. When you look at the game today, of music marketing, how it's put out, social media, and what is going on. How do you feel about how the music is marketed and advertised?
Yeah, some companies really got good marketing strategies. You know, especially with the digital billboards, anything like in that world right now is kind of winning. It's different, man. It's definitely new. It's a breath of fresh air as far as you know, being creative, using these streaming platforms, and taking advantage of what's new. And even with the, you know, I'm inside that other world too. So even inside that NFT world, that's a different creative space for the artist, man, and that's a dope marketing opportunity if artists take advantage of it. You know, I create my artwork for my CD, for all my projects, my albums, my singles, everything. I kind of put my own creative touch to it, and a lot of the projects that we dropping soon, I will be creating NFTs behind it, you know, taking advantage of these new marketing opportunities and platforms. So, yeah, I'm cool with it, man. It's different. It's dope, man. I'm loving this new digital thing, and I'm just in it to see how long it's going to last. My little 7-year-old girl, my little baby, she say, it's fake, Dad. It's fake. I don't like it. She don't think it's going to last. So I want to see what the future, how the future really going to be. So let's see if this new digital world, the metaverse, how all this stuff play out. But it's cool, man, so far. I'm cool with it.
Now, as an artist, we wanted to ask you this question, too. Because this is a very, because obviously we're all black men here. We are pro-black. We're pro-peace in terms of making sure that we survive. What DJ Drewski said about how he's going to cut gang music from his playlist because he just said there are too many black men out here that are dying. King, shout out to you for posting that on your page about that. You know, what do you feel in terms of where we've gotten to with hip-hop culture in terms of a lot of the violence that has come with it, the unnecessary loss of life, and Drewski's bold stance in terms of saying, yo, we got to stop this somehow?
Yeah, it definitely got worse, man. You know, we used to hear about a few things back in the day, coming up listening to the old school hip-hop, the Ice-T's and the N.W.A.'s, but it was more them fighting the general public and, you know, officials and other people that's trying to stop us. Now, man, it's more us on us inside the music world. I ain't even speaking on black. I'm speaking inside music. Like, it's sad you know, you can't even be creative, you know, and write down your thoughts or how you feel without it creating some type of negative energy towards somebody else. So it's ugly, man. I definitely hate that. Even myself, man, I've been actually faced with stuff like that, you know, recently. You know, it wasn't due to music, but it's due to violence, you know. I'm actually going through some legal issues right now with, you know, somebody shooting up my car, shooting at me while I was picking up especially. Yeah, so it's an ugly thing, man, you know, especially when you're just out here trying to create and feed your family. It's a hard thing, but at the same time, man, like, what can you do when you put in a situation like that? You know, the people who, you know, hands was forced and they had to protect themselves, or, you know, it's hard to even speak on, man. I just pray for them brothers, man, like, I pray for everybody, especially my people, man. I hate seeing us go through that, but you know it's a game too, man. You know I got to speak on it. I got to speak real on it too, man. It's a game, man, and we can play. You know, the whole goal is to create the music, make money from it, and go back home. Go home and feed your family. You know, we taking the message that the masses has put in front of us, and we took it and misconstrued it. We thinking we supposed to. You know, like, we should be able to rap how we feel. If we actually took that music and treated it as therapy, I might have a problem with you. You could have did something to me, and I really want to hurt you, but it would be better for us to just thrash this thing out over music, man, and make some millions off of it and laugh at it. Like, bro, I really wanted to hurt you, though, bro, but, you know, we ain't take it there. We grown enough and we smart enough to know let's not get played by this game. Let's play this shit.
One thing about it, I think, when we look at the, in terms of a lot of situations in the game, one thing about it, I think that's why the beast in the game, when we were growing up, because there were plenty of conflicts, of course, you know, MC Shannon, KRS, you know, LL and Kool Moe Dee, of course, Ice-T and LL had their problems too, NWA and Ice-Cube, DJ Quick and MC8. I'm leaving out Tupac and Biggie for a reason, because that's been talked about to death. We don't need to keep beating that dead horse. But one thing about it is I think a lot of heads understood that back in the day, depending on who you were and what was said on a record, that meant real consequences if you and another individual got face-to-face with each other. And I'm going to go there to a degree. A lot of these young heads out here are saying things on wax because it's part of that youthful exuberance, but a lot of them not really understanding because there's definitely a lot more going on now than there was back then. And even then, back then, there was a situation of certain lines were crossed. People knew where it was going. It's like now some of these young heads out here, they want to cross that line, and they dare you to do something. And the problem is, niggas are taking them up on that dare. I mean, yeah. We've seen, you know,
man, it used to be about bars and who's to be the nicest. Now, the guys now that back then they didn't have to worry about that, because now they wanted to get out that jungle and prove that they best musicians, best producers, the best rappers. Who's they ain't caring about that. They want to be the toughest dandada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they will roll up and, I mean, they'll blast you for it. I mean, you know, shout out Moneybagg Yo, losing one of his people last week. And then Moneybagg, they said he was moving out of Memphis. You know, it's just, you know, when you see violence touch down and it gets to you, like in your situation, it puts a perspective on things. We're not going to ask you, obviously, the details of what happened or what led up to it. That is your personal business on Off the Cuff Radio. We do not... Chatty Patty, we do not dig into those personal issues. But I will say this. When you're dealing with stuff like that, it comes to a point because you have to make a decision at that particular time about when somebody, you know, has habitually lined stuff in that capacity, how you're going to handle it. Not only you, but a lot of artists that we know of situations and stuff that has happened that we don't know about in terms of certain violations. And there's certain people that are going to let the law, like yourself, you're going to let the law take care of that. Boy, you got a lot of heads that are going to take it to the streets. And, you know, you don't know who's going to get hit behind. Once it goes to a street level, and that's why we always tell a lot of youngins out there, be careful how you get out there talking about somebody. Because some people are going to be calm about it and be rational. And then some, they will erase your whole family behind even the slightest perception of perceived disrespect. When you look at the music today, how do you think it has changed in terms of just fashion, in terms of just, you know, just how everybody kind of looks at it? You know, do you think a lot of artists are getting into it strictly because they love the culture, or do you think they look at it from a perspective of how they can become celebrities off of it?
Oh yeah, it's money now. It's all about the money now. You got rappers waking up broke saying, yo, I'm gonna rap tomorrow. Somebody else made a million because they got streams off of YouTube, Spotify last night. So it's definitely a monetary thing now. It's not even about talent like that no more, as we can see. And then, like, even back in the early 90s, man, like, even early 2000s, like, when the radio did, you know, we had other things on the radio at that time, the DMXs and the Ja Rule, some of the songs, before he switched up and went, you know, crossover, pop, doing all that, you know, R&B stuff. He was, like, Ja Rule was on some murder stuff. So, you know, we heard those type of songs, but then we'll get a De La Soul song coming into the radio. Then we'll get, like, you know, some cool shit, you know, playing on the radio, 95 South, some ass-shaking shit, some Luke shit, you know. So it's like now they don't even put none of the watered-down music out there. It's just straight gutter, 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 kill, kill, kill. Like, they not even trying to give nobody no other perspective. Like, it's just straight, you know, you got to be a gangster. You can't be no pretty boy no more. You got to be a gangster. You can't be no cool guy no more. You got to be a gangster. You can't be one of the guys that's rapping to the females. Like, it's ugly, man. But, you know, I pray for my people, man. I know we just got to learn how to play the game, man. We learn how to play the game, man. We'll be the most. We already took over music, period. Hip-hop is the number one genre, period, now. It used to be on some rock and roll shit. That was even us. Now, we done came in with hip-hop. It was one of the genres that they were trying to ban for years, and look how we is now. We done took over the world. We got everybody all over the world listening to hip-hop. But now, if we can control the substance and control the narrative and show people that, hey, man, you know, this is me creating power, but with my music, you know, like, you don't have to go, I ain't got to go out here and murder nobody. I can give you that shit on a song, and you can just see it as just pure art, and I'm not harming nobody, but, you know, we'll learn it soon, man. Maybe the next generation will learn that it's just a game, man. Let's just go out here and have fun, creative music. If you don't like me, put it in a song, but we ain't got to go hurt each other over it. We can make money off of it and laugh at the top.
And I'd be thinking definitely, myself, definitely. I'm like, man, you would think that you made it. You made it from poverty. You made it from gunshots. You made it from police brutality. You made it through that jungle. You're going into a new life and music. You would think that these guys would want to sit there and just focus on that. But these niggas want to go back into the jungle, even when they get money.
Yeah, man. It's a sad thing to see sometimes, man. Like, yeah, it's definitely sad, man. But I just pray for my niggas, man. I pray for my woes. I hope they be safe out here, because this shit is not Call of Duty, man. This shit is real life duty.
And that's real, like King was saying, because when you look at hip hop, one thing about it, when we learn this, hip hop has changed at a certain level in the business aspect of, because, like my man was saying, you know, it was all about, you had A&R, you had people that were grooming you in terms of, because this was a business. So you understood what the business implications were, how you basically had a job now being an artist. And what has happened is hip hop is street culture because it came from the street. This is not to be confused with gang culture or just gang violence, which is a war culture. That is totally different. It's a part of the, it's an extension of the street that comes with it, but it's something that you have to keep separate. And what we're having now, even if it's not gang related, you're dealing with a lot of individuals that were involved in certain aspects of street violence that they brought into the game. And like you said, this is not Call of Duty, because there are situations where you cross that line with somebody, they're going to run up on you and dump on you. We've seen it happen, you know. And you have to understand that when you say or do certain things, at the end of the day, we're all people. We have feelings. And certain people, they're going to be more in their feelings if you disrespect them. And certain people, you just don't go that route with, because a lot of niggas got to understand, this ain't about rapping with a lot of individuals. Because that real bad nigga, you may say some shit about him, you may think it's funny, until that nigga decides it ain't funny and he lets you know that he's throwing more than tomatoes at your ass. You know, this ain't Fozzie Bear getting plastered, with tomatoes more, but it's something red is going to come from what gets tossed at you. When you look at the music, what inspires you? What about the culture inspires you? What inspires your creative process?
I do different things, man, when I need to be creative. Sometimes I'll even take trips to, like, back to my old neighborhood, but, you know, that's kind of how I got involved in that situation, by going back home. You know, they always say that. That's a sad saying, but, you know, they say it a lot. Even Boosie said it. You know, a lot of artists get killed when they go back home. But, you know, I go back home right through my old neighborhood just to, you know, stay grounded, and it helped me create a lot more. But also, man, I like to travel, so traveling helped me create too. So it depends on my thought process at that time, man, because I can get creative just by going to the studio with nothing on my head. I can just drive to the lake and look at the water and get real creative. You know, I have different feelings, different times. It don't even matter, man. I'm kind of sporadic when it comes down to it, too, man. So I can get creative anytime, man. I train myself to do that, though, through that persistent level. Sometimes it get boring when you're doing it, but that boring time counts. You know, a lot of artists don't understand that. That's that, you know, them hours count. All that time counts. So, you know, when I'm bored, man, I go somewhere, man. I go to a park or something. I go to the neighborhood, you know, ride through the neighborhood just to get some vibes. But, you know, any type of vibe will put me in that work process, though, man.
How important is it for artists to understand it's okay to be a regular person?
Yeah, man, it's beautiful to be regular. It's beautiful to be normal, man, and accept responsibilities and accept things for as they are. You know, we human, man, you know, and I'm cool with, you know, like, I make my mistakes. I ain't one of the type of people that don't show my L's on social media. You'll see me take losses in your face and bounce back in your face because we human, man. We ain't got to fake it, you know. We all trying out here. We all striving to do better. If you trying to do better, I salute you. I don't care who you are. I just respect anybody trying to do better than they did yesterday. So as long as you doing that and you being a human, I'm cool. You ain't got to play superhuman and the super gangster when you see me. You ain't gotta do that. And I run into a lot of the little dudes that do that, man, when they used to come to our studios. Like, and I used to tell them, though, like, bro, you ain't gotta be a gangster around me. You ain't gotta bring a gun to the studio. Like, honestly, you more safer without the gun at my studio. My whole duty is to protect you at my studio. You shouldn't have to bring nothing when you around me. I was raised like that. My dad taught me that, man. If you got a homeboy and he got a problem, you got a problem. So, you know, I took that same mentality and put it in my studio. Anytime we open up the studio, it's a safe zone for anybody. When you come to my studio location, you're in a safe zone. So if you got a problem, that problem will not be allowed in my studio. I take that problem up. I go outside and holler at that person for you. I send my security team to go make sure that problem prevented. That's just how I roll. So normal, man. Like, life too short to be out here playing super gangster. Like, nah, be cool, man. It's cool to be cool. I always been the cool guy. Like, that's how I grew up, and that's kind of who I had to go back to being. You know, like, we put up our shells sometimes to protect ourselves, but I got tired of protecting myself, man. I just want to be cool. And in order to do that, sometimes you got to change your life habits, change the people you around, and just change everything about you. And then, you know, get ducked off. Real niggas don't fall off, they fall back. So just fall back and chill.
Yeah, and that's the thing people have to understand. You know, as long as, you know, within reason, it's okay to, you know, make a tactical step back, because when you have a lot to lose, especially, and I think a lot of kids have to understand this, you know, like Boosie was saying, as wild and crazy as Boosie can be on shit, that boy got a lot of common sense on a lot of things, and that was one of them that he said when he interviewed with Glad about it. Because you got people that, depending where you're from, and Boosie from Baton Rouge, and his hood out there, and Boosie made it out. God bless him. And, you know, he's successful, but you got a lot of niggas out there that ain't make it out, and they're jealous of what he has.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, especially when you come from certain hoods where you're the one that makes it out, there's a lot of resentment because people are going to be jealous of what you got. Some feel like it should have been them that made it. And then you just got evil people in general, man. They just hate the world, and
yep.
They just wake up angry. I don't mean to get too out there with it, but you just got some people, no matter who they are, no matter what color they is, they just got issues with humanity. And when you got someone that hates life, because they hate their life, your life doesn't mean anything to them. And those are people I tell people, I'm like, yo, them motherfuckers, you need to get away from. Because I'm like, you know, there's a difference between holding your ground and then you bring the war if it's necessary. But then again, you have to think about what that war costs and who you're engaging in war with. Some people, they got a suicide mission, and they don't care if they take you with them. So if you know staying away from that person preserves your existence, by all means, avoid them. It doesn't mean you're bitching out. It means you know what's coming dealing with certain people, and you getting away from it.
Yeah.
When you look at the journey you've been on musically, who would you like to work with as you keep going along? And, you know, you met Pitbull, you know, you've been out there, interacting with major people. Who would you like to work with moving forward?
Yeah, I like to work with anybody, man. You know, I like to mention all the icons first. I like to work with Jay-Z before, you know, he retired for the 20th time. Lil Wayne, I definitely want to work with Wayne. I want to do something with Drake. I feel like we'll make some dope music. Me and Nas got to go bar for bar on the track. I want to do a lyrical joint with him. I just want to show my pen game with a brother like Nas and Eminem. That might actually be a dope track, me, Nas, and Eminem. So might try to work that into the universe. Kendrick Lamar, the J. Cole's. You know, I would like to do even with the Carolina artists, DaBaby, Black Zach, Vino. Rest in peace to my nigga Vino. I would have loved to do a track with him. Who else out here? I just did a song with my man Marco Relli. Me and him actually got a project coming out.
Okay.
Anybody, man. I'm that type of writer, man. Then I'm that type of artist too. I'm cool with everybody, man. I don't have a personal problem with no artists out here. NBA, Youngboy, all of them. I want to do a track with all of them.
Now, you said
the oldest one, though. Yeah, the aspiration is the ones who've been in the game forever, though. The Jay-Z, the Nas, who else? Who else? Who could I say that? Man, I can't even the R&B chicks, man. I want to do something with, like, a Mary J. She killing the game right now with Power. I like to do a
class. Now, you said Nas. Now, what him and Hit-Boy have done for the past year, I mean, three straight albums of heat. What do you have to say to those that try to put an expiration date on the legends of rap and saying well, not Nas specifically, but when they try to say that there's an age limit for what rappers need to retire at? Because then Nas just show, like, nigga, I can still do this.
I always had a big problem with that because I always said I never quit, you know, regardless, because I grew up watching rock and roll people perform. I grew up watching Aerosmith in their mid-40s perform with Run-DMC. You know,
right,
and the boys they still performing. These people are still out here performing. But y'all telling me Metallica could go perform, but Big Daddy Kane can't? Y'all tripping. Like, I never really got that, man. You know, I'm still kind of confused about it. Even when I hear the young rappers say, man, nah, man, when you hit 40, you supposed to start rapping. What? Man, by the time I hit 40, man, I'll be rapping even harder.
I mean, and that's where I think we have a cultural divide with it, because in terms of, because I'm a big heavy metal fan myself, so it was great to see, like, bands like Exodus, you know, Slayer, you know, who are still putting out excellent albums. I mean, Testament. I mean, these guys are in their mid-50s, early 60s, and they are still thrashing it out. But I think it's also with the hip-hop culture right now. I think what's going on, I think it's where a lot of these young boys are beginning to think that some of them, because they have an advantage, because of social media, it's the outlets are easier now in terms of shooting videos, being able to record music. So they feel like, for some, not all, because we're not these old men screaming in the sky saying we hate all the young rappers. There are young rappers out there we absolutely love. But some of these youngins out there, they think that they have already achieved the level of legendary that the forefathers have already exceeded legendary and become luminary. They become the staple. They are icons. They are the standard of what the culture represents. Anybody that thinks nobody can rap at 50, check out E-40's latest album and tell me that man ain't still got it.
Yeah. You know, like, I hear them guys, man, like, they still inspire me. Even if Ice Cube drop a new record tomorrow, like, I know it's going to be heat, what he's always talked about, the substance that he put out. Like, I don't know, it just, it's different, man. I don't get it, but I love to see all the different, you know, opinions and reviews about it. But I know me personally, and I'm going to be on the stage probably till about 80 or 90 doing a song with Metallica or Slayer.
And that's what it is, because it shows that you have a love for it, and love has no limit, like Mary J.
Plus,
sang.
I hate to see the guys that we grew up watching performing, you know, in these small clubs. You see these older rock heads still doing stadiums.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic, you know. But that also comes with, you know, some of the rock and roll guys never slow down their momentum. You know, the hip-hop guys be retired. We set back and go on vacation for years. And then when it's time to book us again, our booking fees, you know, you got to take that down now. You wasn't out here performing to keep your name out there. This rock and roll band never stopped. These boys been touring for 50 years straight.
It's also the support too, because some heads even think as they get older, they can't listen to hip hop anymore. I'm 44 years old. You gonna tell me I can't listen to Griselda in my car?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You gonna tell me I can't listen to, you know, Take It Back and listen to Ice Cube's America's Most Wanted? You gonna tell me I can't listen to AZ's Do or Die 2? Shameless plug. For those that have not heard Do or Die 2, please go get it. It's worth it. It's more than worth it.
Yeah, both of them. They has a Do or Die 1 and 2. Like, AZ, my God. That's my bad, AZ. If you listening to this, brother, I'm sorry. You one of my favorites, too, bro. I grew up on AZ, too. I love to do a feature with the God. Peace to the gods and earth, man. I love AZ. I grew up on AZ, too. So, yeah, I'm glad you said his name. Yeah, that's
one of my favorites. Shout out to Brooklyn, man. Yes, I mean, but those guys, and these guys, people forget, Nas will be, God bless, Nasir, Oludala, Ben Jones, he will be 47 this year. Jay-Z is going to be 53. E-40, I think, is going to be 53, 54 this year. The Wu, they're into their 50s now. You know, these guys are legends. And for myself, I'm, you know, for King, we're children. We were birthed into this. You know, this is just us. We do a podcast about this. So this is in our blood. We love the culture. And we're not going to let somebody's perception of what an expiration date on what our interests are dictate when we stop listening. No, we're going to go to the shows. We're going to buy the albums when they come out. You know, it's okay. The thing about it is that there's a difference between that person who's a poser and who's really rooted in it. And we're not here to start trying to talk about who's real and who's not. But the reality is, if you really understand the culture, if you're in touch with it, you could be 80 years old and you can still be in touch with it. And that's, you know what, that is beautiful, because you have wisdom along with the love for it, you know. But conversely speaking, you can tell the person that's kind of like not really into it and kind of just trying to follow them young boy trends and really couldn't
right.
tell you about, you know, the album of the latest, like I said, you know, AZ just dropped. For those that don't know, the extended version of Do or Die 2 dropped last week with the bonus tracks. fire. I mean, you know, Benny the Butcher, he's getting ready to drop Tana Talk 4, has a lead-off single with him and J. Cole. The shit is, he dropped that shit 10 hours ago, and the shit's damn near done 3 million views already. I mean,
there's still a demand for good music. It's always going to be there.
Yes,
it's just a matter of just finding that base.
Yeah, that, and that's the case. That's the truth. You know, the real hip hop listeners, it'll be funny, but half of them people be overseas, man. Like Japan probably listening to more hip hop than your own people in your backyard. So, you know, salute the people that love the culture, man. I ain't mad at whoever listening. Whoever listen. Thank you.
Yeah, and the thing I think about is in the States here is that everything is so driven because a lot of times hip-hop culture in this country is predicated on what is trendy, what is being marketed. We still have a problem with individuality. People have to understand you being different is what makes you you, and you shouldn't try. There's only one you. And you shouldn't try to be like somebody else. I'm not going to let somebody say that such and such is hot, and I think they're trash. No, I'm just not going to do it. And you can't tell me that. I'm like, a lot of times when you're dealing with certain artists, and we've had this conversation, you know, King and myself, we talked about this with so many of our guests on air and off the air. There's the real dopeness has to fight through to find the audience, where we have a lot of half-ass artists that get a push because it's just what they feel like is trendy, what's catchy, what's going to be commercially palatable. Doesn't mean it's good. It just means it's accessible. And this is where we're seeing this now, where this is what's being pushed, you know. But it's like guys like Griselda, AZ, they need more love, and they have a lot of it from those that really know the music. But I'm like, why are these guys, you know, still not getting the major show appearances? You know, we have to appreciate the legends who are up and coming and the established while they're here. Because once they're gone, we don't get them anymore.
And then we'd be wishing for all that.
And we want to come back.
My man, yeah. But this is something where we have to change the culture. This is one reason we're blessed to do shows like this, because we want people to understand that, you know, the legacy starts with the pioneers that become legendary, that keep it going. And we have a very bad habit in hip-hop culture at times of forgetting those that paved the way. As I said, we have some artists out there, I'm going to be straight up, they're arrogant about their success. They think that because they got a little bit of fame, that automatically puts them in Hall of Fame status. Jay-Z said in a 2007 issue with XXL magazine that you have to accumulate work. And that is absolutely true, because you can have a hit today, but it could be a miss later on that is not missed. For those that got to catch what I mean, say, that means that it's not going to be a song that people remember years later. You know, that's how fleeting this game can be. But when you do something that is monumental, that is instrumental, that is influential, that is solid, that it defines culture, and in the greatest sense of it, the history of hip-hop cannot be talked about without that contribution in the conversation, that is when you know you have really etched your place in the eternal Rushmore of infinite icons. People have to understand this. You cannot omit the originals, because the originals are the blueprint for what the culture is.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Because you can't have can't have the current without revisiting the past, because think about it.
Exactly.
Why do you think a lot of these guys trying to go back to the '90s and sampling stuff now?
Yeah.
Well, that's all.
Yeah, and the fact is, man, it's like these artists have to know, man. It's like, you know, I mean, you know, we're not gonna name names on this show. We don't slander people. We're not out here to, you know, do drive-bys on their careers. But the thing is, if you look at a lot of these artists, the question is for some of them today, how many of them from now, 5 years from now, are they still gonna be relevant in the game? Hell, we got a few artists who are unnamed right now still fighting for relevancy that ain't dropped a record in years, still acting like they still got that pull out there. And the reality is they don't. You know, they made their money, but it's like the money won't enough. It's like they want the fame. But I'm like, dude, you know, you know, that ship sailed for you, you know. That's got to be hard. Imagine being 31 years old and your career is washed up, you know. And because basically you got by on doing a dance and you never really got past that.
That's a trip.
But you
big,
say you
man.
Were the first to do everything.
Early 30s.
But you say you were the first to do everything. I'm like, yeah, but guess what? You're the last in line right now.
Yeah, we know where you're going at with that. But you know, we about to wind down, man, and you know, it was been a dope bill with you, man. Well, I hope that a lot of our listeners got a lot of insight in what you bring to the table, and definitely on the business side, letting people know that this is 90% business and 10% music. Got to come with a
Absolutely.
Brand, you got to come with a team, you got to come with your heart in this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and be ready to work.
Yes.
And work, man. Like, it's going to take a lot of work and being resilient, because it's going to always be up. Like, what we ending the show off on, a lot of these artists going downhill. So I learned how to be resilient in this game, and that's by creating legacies. We ain't here to do it for the fame. We need the money so we can make sure our family got generational wealth. Forget the dumb stuff. Like, the music only here to last but so long. Shit, let's not let this shit fade and let our music fade with it. We got to create legacies out here.
Definitely. You know, we create a culture, so let's preserve it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Now, before we leave, you have any other shout-outs you want to give out, my man?
Man, shout-out to the universe, man. Shout-out to the people, man. Shout-out the world. Shout-out my family. It's classified, man. LouAlmighty.com. Louis D. I am LouisD.com, CMGLGroup.com. You know, follow me on I am LouisD on all social media platforms, Twitter and Instagram, preferably. And, you know, salute y'all, man. Thank y'all for having me on. Salute the listeners. You know, I just give my positive energy to the people, man. Thank everybody.
Definitely, man. You're welcome back anytime. And like King said, it was a dope bill with you. Thank you so much. And keep doing what you do, and we're going to support always.
Thank you, brothers. Y'all enjoy y'all night, man. Peace.
Peace.
Holler at, man.
Take us out of here.
On that note, we up out of here. Catch y'all tomorrow night. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Yeah, we out.
One.